Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.
Transformation is not about changing who you are. It's about kind of rediscovering your talents and what you already possess and being able to use that to reach your full potential. You have to question, like, do I really believe this? And once you start meeting somebody that's like has a different belief system or a different background or a different religion, and you realize they're really good people. Their belief systems are different, but it's okay. The more that you absorb about learning about other people and thinking about what you believe, that's where like transformation happens slow but sure. And you really have to kind of stop identifying those things that were kind of part of your past, exploring, you know, who you are, knowing yourself and having the awareness that you might have the tendency to have very more black and white thinking really, really helps you, like, you know, move forward. Unconditional love is a life skill. If you haven't been taught that, to accept people as they are, and you don't have the awareness that you are kind of lacking in that skill of accepting other people just as they are, not what you want them to be or what you think they should believe, or you need to develop it.
Laura Ocasio was in her 30s when she walked away from the only world she had ever known. She had grown up inside a high-control religious community where goals were handed to her, where achievement was measured in hours of service, and where there was little room to ask who she actually wanted to be. When she finally left, her husband stayed behind and her support system vanished overnight. She found herself starting over with almost nothing. What she did next became her life's work. She went back to school, learned to think for herself, and slowly discovered that she wasn't behind at all. She was exactly where she was supposed to be. Today, Laura is a life coach, author, educator, and creator of the Ocasio Goal Setting System, helping people in transition rediscover the talents they already carry. She's also a featured author in our latest book, The Awakened Healer, 18 Pathways to Healing, Wholeness, and Conscious Living, available starting July 20th, 2026. You can get more information at awakenedmagazine.com/awakenedhealer. In this conversation, you'll learn why transformation was never about reinventing yourself and why your goals are less of a to-do list and more of a lifelong journey. I'm your host, David Trotter. Welcome to the Awakened Magazine podcast. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to see you.
It's great to be here.
I want to know about your thoughts as a little kid about goals. Goals are a huge part of your life as you're coaching people these days. And so I'm just curious, little Laura, when she was young, were goals on your mind? Were you goal-driven then, or was that something that kind of came into your life later?
Absolutely not. I had a background where I grew up in a very controlling environment, and my goals were handed to me. There was a plan, but it was really like destiny-based. Like, you know, achievement was the thing. I grew up in a very, I don't know if you would call it religious, but maybe controlling, where it was about how much service that you could put in, like hours.
What type of church environment was this?
I would say that it's like they were known for a while as International Bible Students, and then they progressed to what we now know is the Proclaimers of the Good News that come knock on your door.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so that's what the environment that I grew up on. My mother was reached in the door-to-door service in the 70s. And it was very attractive to her as like a problem-solving thing. You know, like you follow our rules, you join our group, and you will have salvation. You will live in a paradise earth. Like, what's not to like about that?
Sounds good.
But there wasn't much room for like creativity. You really couldn't do your own thing. And it was very isolating. I could say the good parts is that, like, it kept, as a young person, it kept me out of trouble. And I was very earnest. I would say when I was younger, I was like a true believer. I really believed everything and didn't really have very many, at that age, very many, like, critical thinking skills.
Right.
So I really kind of grew up in that environment. And I was very dedicated. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s when I kind of changed course. And, you know, I started kind of meeting people with different backgrounds, different beliefs. I had the desire to explore different career opportunities, and I wanted to continue my education. And at that point, the organization that I belonged to, women pursuing education and kind of like high performing careers was kind of frowned upon.
Sure.
So probably when in my 30s, I kind of went on my own and kind of like left that group. And that's when the need for some clear ideas on how to achieve some goals, trying to find out what works, exploring who you are and what you want to become. And you really have to kind of stop identifying with that group and those things that were kind of part of your past and
those
start
goals.
Moving towards exploring, you know, who you are.
Were you married at the time?
Lost support systems.
Were you married at the time?
What's that?
Were you married at the time?
I was married to my older children's father, and he remained in the group.
Okay.
So
this was a huge transition for you, Laura. This is absolutely amazing.
I was such a true believer, David. I converted him, and then I left.
How did you... I want to hear the story of how you transitioned out of this group. Like, what were the things that were, what were the questions you were asking, and what were the resources that were helping you in the process?
Well, I think that when you leave a group like that in your 30s, you feel behind. And you are behind in a lot of ways, like emotionally, socially. You don't have, like most people would go right to college from high school. So you're kind of missing that gap. And eventually you do, you know, if you're very earnest and you have, you know, like a formula and you're exploring and you have like the right support systems, which when I left, I didn't, you can move ahead. And then the whole like feeling like you're behind doesn't serve you anymore. You're where you're supposed to be and you're coming along, and considering your circumstances, you got to tell yourself you're doing really well considering that you started with kind of nothing. You had to start all over again. So mindset became a very important thing then. And I didn't start off in education goal setting. I actually started off in real estate. I did mortgage lending for a while.
But my question, Laura, if you don't mind, is take me back to when you started asking these questions to transition out of this group. Like, what were the things that we're going, okay, this doesn't quite add up. I'm actually thinking about life this way rather than this way. Mm-hmm. And were there other, like, were there resources or speakers or people that were helpful to you in that process?
You have to question, like, do I really believe this? And it was very much a us versus them mentality. And I tell you, David, once you start meeting people that don't believe exactly what you do, and you've been, maybe were prohibited when you were younger, like you can't play with this person, they're bad association, all the scriptures that go with that. And once you start meeting somebody that's like has a different belief system or a different background or a different religion, and you realize they're really good people and their belief systems are different, but it's okay. And that actually, the more that you absorb about learning about other people and thinking about what you believe, that's where like transformation happens slow but sure.
It's so conflicting. I have had that experience when I was, you know, way younger of like, oh my gosh, wait, this person really loves God or really loves other people. And yet I'm not supposed to like them because I'm not supposed to associate with them because of X, Y, Z, whatever the reason is. So
really,
it's so really conflicting.
I really grew up with that. And it wasn't until my 30s where, you know, I realized that, you know, if I didn't have some type of like system to be able to be self-supportive, and you would need an education and you would need some work experience, that you were really always going to feel that you were missing out. You might feel resentful. There's a whole lot of feelings going on if you don't actually start to develop and do something kind of positive towards making some changes.
Mm-hmm. Who were the people or the resources that kind of helped you in that transition process of coming out of that?
In college, there was a program that helped young mothers like kind of transition back from like staying at home
So and, this was in your 30s. When you say in college, you mean in your 30s.
And I noticed that, listen, like some of these people were young mothers and I wasn't a young mother. When you're in your 30s, you're not exactly a young mother. But like I was in very much like the situational thing mm-hmm. is what they did. And I really related to that. Growing up like in that background, I loved to read and I loved to write and I loved to learn. But what I didn't have, David, is I didn't have critical thinking skills. I read about the history of other religions from the vantage point of somebody else writing about what these other religions believe.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I got to college and really kind of learned about researching, you know, using your critical thinking skills, like kind of like looking at a point, opposing viewpoints. I don't know if you remember that series from when you were in school. Like here I was, you know, like becoming an adult student. I was still kind of like learning about like some of the things that people learned in high school and in middle school about like opposing viewpoints. So, you know, I feel like knowing yourself and having the awareness that you might have the tendency to have very gray, well, more black and white thinking, gray would be the other way, but that you might think about things as being either good or bad and being aware of that, you know, really, really helps you like, you know, move forward. And in one of my chapters that I write, Skills for Life, I actually put down that I feel that unconditional love is a life skill. If you haven't been taught that to accept people as they are, and you don't have the awareness that you are kind of lacking in that skill of accepting other people just as they are, not what you want them to be or what you think they should believe, or, you know, constantly trying to change somebody into something you want them to be. Unconditional love, I do believe, is a good life skill. If you don't have it, you need to develop it.
Mm-hmm.
You really
Amazing.
Do. Yeah.
And you you must have had people in your life that were helping you financially or, you know, with your, like, make that transition if you were leaving a marriage. Like, were these family members that were surrounding you? Or?
I originally had a few siblings that that left the religion around the same that I did. We weren't of like the same age group. So I already had like two young ones. And so we were kind of different stages of our lives. But, you know, as I talk about like the support systems and my goal setting system, people seem to appear in places that you never knew that they would when you become aware that you need them and you are like looking for resources. It just, you know, somebody that can help you. Sometimes they're not the obvious person. Mm-hmm. But I have people that seem to be in the right place at the right time along the way. And I've been fortunate to have like some like lifelong friends that knew me back then and kind of watched me go through the changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing. And so you started out in real estate and then at some point transitioned into being a teacher.
Okay. So I was working in banking and real estate during the mortgage lending crisis, which was 2008,
yep.
where people had closings fall through, like banking, it was like really a difficult situation. Real quickly, I went from that to foreclosures. And I got to tell you, David, when you do foreclosures, I had people call me and tell me I was the Antichrist.
Right,
you know,
right, of course. Yeah.
Home is the American dream. So when you're at the bank and you're just doing something very procedural, you know what I mean? You didn't pay your mortgage and there's a chain of events that happens when you don't pay your mortgage before you foreclose.
Sure.
And there's lots of different steps where you can kind of probably get out of it, but it's not the same feeling as helping people move into their house and happy and do the American dream.
So you were taking their house from them.
And then right around maybe 2010, I started off at an elementary school and I worked with a student who had Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. I don't know if you had heard of that. And I helped him one-on-one. And then I went from there to working kindergarten. And then I discovered that working in education is the best way to get tuition reimbursement and continue your education and kind of reach those goals. So I would say other teachers, other educators have been inspirational to me. They really have been very supportive of like my goals. I mean, if you work in education, you're probably pretty likely to support adult student that's saying, you know, I'm here and I would like to be there.
Mm-hmm. So what did that look like for you in terms of continuing your education at that point in your life?
I worked in a behavioral program when I got my degree in human services.
Mm-hmm.
And so juggling, like working full time, you know, having young kids and then dealing with a group of students that, you know, had some behavioral concerns, you know, throwing chairs, some hit by staplers, you know, just the things that go from working in the kind of a chaotic environment. But I did it. And then I just basically kept moving along. And then I went, I worked in the College Career Center for a while. And that was really kind of a lot of the information that I bring to my books really comes from working in the College and Career Center, working in education.
Mm-hmm.
And then during that time, I decided that I wanted to expand my family through adopting through the foster care system.
Okay.
Because I always knew that I had the ability to love other children that aren't my own, that are not biologically my own children.
Yes.
I think I knew that from teaching because I just really loved all my students. And it didn't really matter whether they were my biological kids or not. They were like all my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So right around that time, you know, I did foster care. My youngest daughter, she is now in college and she just recently graduated and I adopted. I had her since an infant. So I expanded my family that way.
Wonderful.
And then my next career move is probably the most recent that kind of got me into like the coaching at Nocasio system. I took a job in a program called a transition program. And what it is, it's for students with disabilities that are 18 to 21 that instead of going out into the adult room, they can go to community college. There's several in our area and they can learn life skills. They can audit classes if they'd like to. They join a disability awareness club. They use the gym. They live the college life and they join a club that says, we belong here. Include us. We're on campus. I worked for that program. Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. My daughter that I was telling you that I adopted through the foster care system, she became 18 while I worked at that job. And she had this thing. It's called a CSE meeting. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a special education meeting that tells you where you're going to be next year.
Okay.
They said she was going to be where I work.
Wow.
And it was literally, this town's not big enough for the both of us. So I was kind of forced to, I looked outside the school district because by that time I had my master's degree. And I'm like, okay, why not? Like, and I got a job at a place where it was a private school, non-traditional students with sensory, all different learning styles. And the job that I took was as a college and career teacher. And I felt like that was like the best fit for me. And the first couple modules that you taught for each 9th through 12th was all on goal setting, time management, organization. And I started off teaching them the traditional goal setting systems. Like, I'm not going to say them because I don't want to be, you know, like the person that's singing the Lion King song that's being sued.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. I don't want that to happen. So I'm not going to say like all the other ones that I know, but some of the students were successful with it and some of them really struggled. Some of them were more sensory and they needed to kind of think about what it would feel like to have that job or like be in like on a college campus, like think about what it would feel like, what it would look like for them. And really think about who in my life with the struggles that I have is going to support me when I make these changes. This was very different than any of the goals, the curriculum that I had.
So talk to me about how it is, and we're going to go deep into the Ocasio goal setting system, which by the way, you've written about in our upcoming book called The Awakened Healer, which I'm so excited that you're contributing a chapter to that book. And so we're going to walk through some of the aspects of your chapter, but before we do that, and it's really about your system. I'm so curious about how your system differs from other systems. Like what is the essence of that system, the other systems that you saw wasn't working for these students? Was it more, cognitive? Was that more the focus or?
I think that a lot of it was being, you know, coming across the different learning styles, the visualization really fit in there for like the think about what this would look like, feel like, and the part of being able to regulate your emotions when you're doing the visualization, you know, like the deep breathing part and kind of really kind of think about like picturing yourself there where you want to be was very, it was very successful. And David, I started writing my own curriculum. I started
writing. How did you come up with this idea of the visualization and the sensory experience? Where did that come from for you?
I started off maybe the first 5-10 minutes of class doing like meditation videos, just doing like a fish tank or doing, they liked fish tanks, they liked waterfalls. And I would like have those with the soft music going, and that would help people kind of, you know, move past their last class and get adjusted to what the information that I was going to present for that. And so there was that. And then, you know, helping them, which is very different. So that's very different than some of the standard goal setting systems. But also, I didn't see where any of them really brought into the fact that you need to look or discover or find some type of support system.
Okay.
They were all interconnected, and nobody goes it alone. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, students have like a lot of support, and other times when you're older, it kind of dwindles off. Mm-hmm. But where can you find that and kind of identifying that and seeing where that can help you? So the visualization is a big difference, the support system. And then also the itinerary part. Itinerary mm-hmm. part kind of means that it's more of a journey. Mm-hmm. It's not a linear path mm-hmm. to reaching your goal. There's going to be turns, twists and turns, mm-hmm. and might be setbacks and obstacles that you have to overcome. It brings in like resilience. But it also has, you know, life is a journey. It's not just like a to-do list. So you're going to encounter some pretty powerful learning lessons when you're on your journey. Like while you're, you know, I know people have told me all kinds of stories about like, you know, before they got their dream job or, you know, while they were like exploring a talent, the different things that they encountered and what they learned from it. And the itinerary part is very different.
So I want to interrupt if I could, because you're going into some details of the system, which are awesome. And I want people to hear about it, and I'm feeling the difference here. So you wrote your own system that you called the Ocasio system. I'm just going to go through the acronym. O stands for visualize an outcome. C stands for clarity. A, achievable. S, support system. I, itinerary, which you just mentioned. And then O, outcome actualized. So I want to walk through a few of these because this is very powerful. And what's interesting is you've been working with young adults in this context. And before we go into these details, you're now working with adults. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes. And actually, I've really been expanding to, you know, from working with young people. And then I told you I worked in a transition program, which is like 18 to 21 in college. And then I was finding that I was attracting a lot of women in transition that really could relate to having to kind of start again.
I'm not surprised.
And then I try to really open up to be inclusive, like of some men that are going through like some career changes when they least expected it. Like they thought that they were doing well. Like we live next to Kodak, you know, like Kodak that produces the film, and everything has gone digital. Xerox used to be over here. So we have a lot of people who thought they would be at their jobs for life. You know, this was their plan, and now things have changed. And how do you kind of like regroup and find like what your next journey is on the path? So trying to leave it open to not just be geared towards like young people or teens or like women in transition, but open it up to try to make sure that you're helping out like men that might be kind of in transition or moving from one job to another, or just be in between like relationships or just,
sure.
Yeah.
Tell me this before we dive into the system. What motivates you to do this? Why are you passionate about goals and goal setting now and helping people in this way?
I really feel that if you have the ability to help someone else and you know that what you're offering is valuable and can change people's lives, that's like the really big motivator. Like, you know, this isn't something that it does work. And I'm having people come back and tell me it works before it had a name, like before it was the Ocasio goal setting system, before I named it that, and it had kind of the acronyms that I did this type of thing, and they just, it's life changing. So why wouldn't you want to share it with other people and help them have fulfilling lives? You know, that's so important to like when you have that. And I know that the book that we're doing is on healing, and having a different goal setting system can actually heal your confidence. Like when you've been kind of doing things a different way, you're just not reaching your goal, you can kind of like lose your confidence to a certain point about like your ability to be successful, you know, kind of internally. Like your inner monologue might be telling you that you can't do things and things like that. So, you know, I think that part of the attraction with us connecting and me getting involved with the book is that this having a different system and having it be effective can really like heal your confidence.
I love that. Really that is so good. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you talked about visualization. The first letter in Ocasio is O, visualize the outcome. Why is it so important to start with that sensory felt visualized experience of like where I'm going? Why is that so important to you?
There's so many different reasons, but I think visualizing yourself in the position of doing what you want to do and visualizing yourself being happy and content and capable and things like that are so very important, because I know people seem to be really geared towards following what somebody tells them they should be or what life should be like, or kind of, and I know I was like that. I shared my story where you think that people are going to give you a plan and tell you the solutions, but that's not really going to help you like transform into who you're supposed to be coming. So I think that visualizing what you want kind of helps keep it internal and self-focused instead of, you know, having it gravitate towards what I should be doing, what other people are saying, where I should be. A social construct of like, by this time I should be doing this job, by this time I should be married and having my, you know, kids. I think that the visualizing helps you kind of center where, you know, where you are on your journey and where you should be going. Mm-hmm. It's a major thing, I feel.
What if I'm coming to you for support and I go, Laura, I don't even know what I want. Like, I'm just not sure. Like, I just feel like there's so many options. I don't even know the direction I should go. Like, how do you help someone like that visualize when they're not quite sure of what even to visualize?
You know, my biggest thing is what I would tell somebody who explained what you were saying, think of yourself as a liberal arts student. Do you have to be one particular thing, or could you visualize yourself in exploratory stage where you're trying different things to see what you like, and that you're becoming multifaceted and that you're really enjoying the part where you're, you know, you're trying different things, you know, like if you're into culinary, you know what I mean? And there's just so much, like a smorgasbord. Do you have to just pick one thing? So maybe like to start yourself, that's maybe where you are in your journey, where you're just kind of like an exploratory phase. And I would definitely say that's a positive thing, that you're not willing to really pin down something until you're really sure that that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. So I could even visualize myself as an explorer or as an adventurer.
Yeah, trying different things. Traveling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And being happy about it.
More clear. I mean, because I'm sure that does happen, that, you know, somebody sits down there, sure, like, you know, I've been visualizing, I still can't really focus in on where I'm supposed to be. Cause sometimes that comes clear farther down the road in your journey. Mm-hmm.
I know in your chapter, you walk people through a step-by-step process of visualizing. Can you give us just a couple of those key points? Like if you were to help me visualize right now, what would be the main points that you would want me to be, you know, reminded of or be aware of?
The big thing that I would say, and I know that I've touched on it before, is that while you're doing this, our mind is constantly going and playing like a monologue in our head. So like the words that we tell ourselves are so very important, you know, like I'm not talking about affirmations. I'm talking about what we say to ourselves and about ourselves, like while we're going through the process, that's very normal to kind of, you know, like with any type of meditation or visualization, it's very normal to kind of gear off that. But just to be mindful, like, you know, that we're the things that we tell ourselves, because what we put out there usually comes back to us.
Mm-hmm. In your chapter, you talk about that as conscious language. What is conscious language?
You know, I feel very strongly that words matter, and not just what we say to other people, but what we say to ourselves. And that's something that, you know, working with people with disabilities, you know, in the fact that I just said it, like you're a person with a disability first. You're not you're somebody who has a disability. That's not you. You know, back in the day, they would say like autistic child or autistic boy or girl or whatever, you're a person who has a person first. So that is basically what I would say about, like, you know, how you talk to yourself, your inner dialogue, and like what you, your response to like your environment and the things that happen to you, how you process those in the words that they form, you know, in your mind to be able to talk about it. So it's mostly the words, you know, in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And
you being know, conscious those, of those, being aware yeah. of those. Yes.
Yeah. I think that differs a little bit from affirmation. You know, yes. I think there's some words that we use interchangeably that are not exactly the same thing. They're related, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I personally, I love setting goals. I mean, I love goals. I'm a very driven type A person, so I'm all about them. I'm excited about it. One of the things that can be a challenge for me is putting down goals that are way too big, like, and end up being just exhausting, overwhelming, you know, too much. And I know the second, like, one of the parts of your system is making sure it's achievable. Like, this is actually achievable. How do you help someone determine between you're biting off a little more than you can chew there, or no, it's good to be, it is good to stretch yourself. And, you know, you may not hit that goal completely, but you'll get farther ahead than you thought you would. Like, how do you navigate you, you that know, in
you
the process?
You almost touched on it. You almost like said like verbatim, like kind of my thoughts on that, you know, like having an achievable goal is meant to stretch you, but not okay. break you. It's not supposed to break you. It's supposed to, you know, maybe challenge you a little bit, have a little bit of growth and stuff like that.
But how do I know the difference though?
I think that your body and your mind gives you signals when you're overwhelmed or you're running, you know, over your capacity to be able to, you know, absorb something maybe that you're learning, like when you're learning how to do something new. You ever have somebody throw too much information at you? And then, you know, like over a short period of time, I think that, you know, being aware of like ourselves and how we process things, that we know, like, if we're feeling overwhelmed, like we don't have time for the other things like self-care, our relationships in our lives, that tells you that maybe that what you're doing is kind of more than what is sustainable. Mm-hmm. So you're looking for sustainability as opposed to like being like a high achiever, or just being, you know, like you're going in a pie eating contest and just, you know, overindulging.
Sure, but, sure, sure. How about if I, cause what you talked about is kind of, I get down the road and then I'm feeling like it's overwhelming. How do you coach people on like shifting their goals or renegotiating that in their mind midway through? Like if it is feeling too overwhelming, do I just quit because it's too much, or do I renegotiate, you know, that, or how do you navigate that?
I think that, you know, relying on your support system is important, but also I have in one of my books, the Ocasio Goal Setting System, there's a part about skills. Stress management is so very important. You know, like when I talked about when I first started, you know, pursuing goal setting and working as a coach and stuff like that, there was a lot of stress. So having like good self-care, knowing different methods for controlling your stress, you know, while you're trying to, might be feeling overwhelmed, like, you know, progressive relaxation is one, like deep breathing, you know, all the things that go into like managing your stress. I think that that's very important. And then also, you know, it's okay to reassess your goals and what you're working for and constantly changing. You know, like I said, you're not on a linear path. You're going to have, you know, some twists and turns. And sometimes, you know, like what we've been pursuing just might have seemed okay at the time, but it might be just like over our capacity and just like overwhelming at another point. You have to kind of, you know, reexamine it again. And it's okay to reexamine like your goals and your direction and how you want to do that.
One of the things you talked about early on in our conversation that is distinct about the Ocasio goal setting system is the need for support. And I definitely have not heard much of that in other goal, you know, processes or systems. If I'm putting together a plan, goals, how do I think about support? How do I reach out and ask for support? Coach me through that.
Well, I think that depending on what your goal is, networking is very important. Just, you know, like what we're doing right now, I'll use that example for like the co-authors for the Awakened Healers. It's a collaborative thing. So getting together and kind of running some ideas off of someone else is like invaluable. And also if we're like, we're looking for a new job, we go to networking and, events, you know, another skill with social skills, it's, you know, we don't have forever and a day to talk about this, but like making sure that your relationships are reciprocal. Making sure that, you know, if you're always a person giving somebody job leads and you're helping them out, make sure that some of them are coming back your way and, you know, kind of moving it around to make sure that all your support systems are healthy and functioning well and benefiting like both people involved. So, you know, that is like something to learn that expands in the Ocasio-Gold system. You know, there's a lot that goes into support systems. And sometimes systems that worked at one point of your life can change. And when you grow, you need to find another group of people that support you and have more of an understanding of where you're at and are helping you along the way. So it's a very ever-changing, evolving thing.
Mm-hmm. What about for yourself? Like, give us some examples. Like, how have you set up your own personal support system in this season of life as you're pursuing your goals?
Well, locally, I'm part of a woman's network that, you know, some small business owners, some people are working on projects, some very creative ladies in all different age groups and backgrounds. Prior to that, I was involved in some groups in Buffalo, and I was doing some public speaking out there, really kind of like developing like a lot of my own skill set. But I just had too many times of like driving in like inclement weather out to, I don't know if you know anything about like Rochester and Buffalo. It was really, really bad. It was really, really bad. So, you know, I think that like what we're doing right now, being able to have the capacity to do a video or a Teams meeting or like a Google, but I think it's important that you have the people that you're comfortable with explaining, you know, hey, I have this idea. You know, what do you think about this? And then they're comfortable sharing that with you. And also having people of all different age groups and backgrounds. I think this is something from my background that I was restricted for early on. And I really value, you know, having, you know, working with young people and hearing their ideas and working with people who are, you know, retired in a certain other stage of their life. It's just like support systems. Like I said, you will find them in different places when you least expect it. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to make effort to reach out and maintain. Like relationships are hard work. So you do have to you do have to work on your relationships and your support system.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that seems challenging to me is that oftentimes it can be difficult to ask for support. So, you know, we can sometimes ask, you know, assume, well, they should just know to support me. You know, they should just know to read my mind and know what, you know what I need. How do you coach people to reach out for support and say what they need?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to acknowledge exactly what you just said. You know, I mean, you're not wrong. People really like being in the helping mode and being like the giver. You know, it helps people feel good about themselves and feel like they're contributing to something meaningful to be helping other people. But just a reminder that we're part of like the interconnectedness, and that support systems mean that you have to at some point rely on other people. And if you want that other person to have the same joy of experience what it's like to give to other people and be involved in other people's lives, you have to be willing to let them in and also be on the receiving end, because like giving sometimes feels real good. And I know that people are, you know, sometimes people are like, they give to like they have an empty glass and they don't have any way to refill it. You don't really want to get to that point. You want to make sure that you're, you know, requesting assistance as you need it. And it's a mindset change sometimes when you're used to being, you know, the giver in the situation. Yeah,
absolutely. I had someone recently, they flew in to an expo that we were hosting here in Orange County. And they were like, yeah, I just want to fly in and, you know, like help you for the day. And I'm like, why? Like, why are you, well, I just want to help. I just want to help, you know? And it felt so awkward to receive that assistance, you know, even like getting clarity. I'm like, okay, well, how do you want to help? Like, 'cause I need clarity, but I feel awkward asking, like, you know, is it, is this too much? And they're like, no, that's why I'm coming. I'm like, okay.
And you could, the thing is, you probably could really use like the extra set of hands.
Oh, of course.
And things like that. And, you know, I think that that is just like the best part of like the best example is like setting something up. I know I go to speaking engagements and, you know, sometimes, like I said, traveling in the weather, you know, you do need to help them set up some tables and stuff like that. And sometimes we even ask, it's obvious that like you can't carry both ends of the table and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To chip in, it's like so obvious. Like, and then you're just like, did they really like refrain from asking? Or some people, they just won't. You just got to kind of, but like you said, you were not mind readers and we don't always know. And we don't want to need help, not request help, and then feel resentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people don't know. You assume that people know. And probably if you told them that you went through that, they'd be like, I wish I would have known. I would have helped you.
Right. I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing that you said differentiates the Ocasio goal setting system from other, you know, systems is the idea of having an itinerary rather than a plan. Talk to me about the itinerary. What does this mean?
It means a lot to me. It really means a lot to me. I think having a plan kind of denotes that you have like a sequence of like a to-do list and things are going in a certain order. Now, I'm not against organizational skills. That's not what I'm saying. But like I said, the itinerary is more like a travel or like a journey. And it kind of just helps you emphasize that we're all like on a path. We are not trying to reinvent ourselves. We are trying to become, reach our full potential. We're becoming who we're meant to be. We're not trying to do like a massive overhaul, like a makeover or anything like that. We're trying to, you know, understand like our potential and, you know, our talents and be able to like evolve and transform. You know, I think a to-do list kind of tells you kind of like where you're supposed to be and kind of what they're hoping to see for like a result. So I think that that is a big thing. And I also think that, I don't know if I've told you this, my maiden name was Tripp. So you
really
if you can imagine at that period of my life what it was like to have a last name Tripp. You know, it wasn't used to mean journey. It was kind of like, she's a trip. It's such a trip. You know what I mean? But I think that that is a way of really connecting to the idea of like a itinerary or a journey, or that you're on like a trip in your life, as opposed to like coming up with a plan.
Mm-hmm. You know? And there are unexpected twists and turns and potholes and mountaintop big views, amazing views, and then some challenges in the valleys too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So yeah, it's a system that I prefer to be thinking that we're all on a journey, and our journey is towards, you know, transformation and becoming our true selves.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you talk about is remembering or returning to who you truly are versus kind of becoming a whole new person. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think that there's a gear towards like, when people think of like self-improvement, and like a lot of what I do, sometimes people don't, some people think of it as like purely curriculum and other people think of it as like self-help, and that means like reinventing yourself or making changes, or like what I brought up of like the makeover, like a rehaul. And I don't think that that's, you know, very healthy to think that you have to change the core person that you are. I think that it's important to realize that, you know, self-acceptance, and that there might be some things about yourself that you're still discovering, but the goal is to be able to become your true self and not make you into someone that you're not, or, you know, something that other people might want you to be, or something that's trending, or even something that you feel is more efficient than what you're doing. I know a lot of people read like a lot of different books about, you know, being highly productive, getting up at a certain time. I have all those books. I do understand, because I taught time management. I understand that's important thing of its place, but I think it's important that your authentic self, and that you're, you know, living that life as opposed to somebody else's life, or something mm-hmm. that you feel is somebody else's expectation of what you think your life would be like.
Mm-hmm. I do hear that from people who maybe aren't as goal oriented when they're introduced to goals or a plan. I do hear that, like, well, I don't want this to change who I am. Like, I want to be me. And so I'm hearing you giving them permission to be them, but just figuring out in their own way, how do they develop kind of some things that are going to help them progress. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know, that goal setting, I don't know if you know this, goal setting, not for you, because you said you really are into setting goals, But in some ways, it has like a negative connotation about like fear, a fear of failure, accountability, or being like really committed to something and then deciding that you don't want to do that. There's even, you know, a big time for me, it's like Laura Ocasio Holiday is like New Year's, because, you know, like the New Year's resolutions and goals. I do like a lot of speaking and a lot of people reaching out because that's the time where New Year's people think about goals. But right. Then you have, there's actually a date on the calendar. I don't know what it is. That's like resolution quit day or something like that. Like right, you decide right. You stop smoking. That's the day that you like you quit or exercise. There's like a day like give up day. So yeah. I think like a lot of people, you know, think about that connotation with like goal setting. That, you know, they're worried about, you know, failure, or they're worried about like the pressure and stress that if you have a goal, and that's basically like what I explained. And we talked about like achievability versus sustainability. I think if somebody knew that part kind of up front, I'm not changing the letters around in the system, but if I think people who were worried about that, you let them know coming down the way with the system, like accountability and sustainability, they're not the same thing. And that's really not the object of goal setting, is not to, you know, set people up for, you know, having these fears of not, you know, reaching their potential or anything like that. Or
So of course we've been talking about your chapter in The Awakened Healer, Powerful Practices from Today's Conscious Leaders to Heal, Transform, and Elevate Your Life. You have multiple books as well on Amazon. One that we want to draw people's attention to is The Ocasio System, The Complete Guide for Rediscovering Your Confidence and Transforming Your Life. We will link to that in the show notes, of course. If someone were to pick up the book, The Ocasio System, what can they expect?
I think that one of the, at least I've been told, the main focal part is rediscovering your confidence, because I mentioned how life-changing it is to have, you know, a goal-setting system that works and how that affects your confidence and how you feel about yourself. I have had like a lot of people say that has been a wonderful book that has really been, you know, life-changing. And then Journey to Transformation has my coaching methods, because I believe in transparency. Like these are the modules that we go through, like awareness. And, you know, we go through, you know, as far as like, we talked a little bit about like stress management, like it kind of tells you what I do in my coaching, the things that we'll go through. And then Skills for Life is kind of my taking what I've learned about teaching life skills in high school and bringing it up to an adult level that mm-hmm. is usable. I mean, it's still definitely readable and applies to like the younger folks, but like putting like an adult spin on it. Mm-hmm. And then we have like throughout the whole conversation, we've really talked about like that last book about becoming, mm-hmm. and that's about like transformation, becoming who you're meant to be. And mm-hmm. if I had to have anybody take away anything from this conversation that we're having, like what I would like to remember, that transformation is not about changing who you are. It's about kind of rediscovering, you know, your talents and what you already possess, that you already have, and being able to use that to reach your full potential.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you also, obviously, you offer one-on-one coaching. And people can go to your website, which I believe is lauraocasio.com, and book a clarity call in order to get clear on where they're at and how you can help them. Who would you say is the like best type of person that you love coming alongside and helping them with that one-on-one coaching?
I would say people in transition is a big thing, whether like you're changing, you know, something has changed, like as far as your job, or if you've moved your living situation, if you've had like the beginning of a relationship, the end of a relationship, you know, maybe your kids are moving out and you're like an empty nester. People who are in transition seem to really have the need for the information that I have to be able to move past this and kind of start with a different direction.
I love it. All right. LauraOcasio.com. People can go there, click the book a call button, and they'll be able to sign up for a free call to connect with you. Laura, thank you so much for your contribution to the Awakened Healer book. Thank you for what you're doing in the world. It's great to be with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wouldn't it be great to connect with other podcast listeners at an in-person event? Join us for Awakened Lifestyle Expo, August 22nd, 23rd in Orange County, California. Shop among 60 conscious brands and be inspired at over 30 workshops led by some of the most fascinating voices in the consciousness movement today, including Daryl Anka, William Henry, JJ Brighton, and many more. Get 10% off tickets by using the discount code LIMITLESS at awakenedlifestyleexpo.com.